really deep diving into mapping out what you're actually doing, what the requirements are, and taking that, translating that into the technology, making sure that you have good, efficient ways of working with the tools that you're using, making sure that they're the right tools for the job in the first place as well, and trying to make those things more efficient with features and functionality and automation and AI maybe as well.
Welcome to the Business Ownership Podcast, brought to you by Awareness Strategies, helping you navigate the waters between entrepreneurship and ownership. Hey there, peeps. This is Michelle Nedelec, and I'm super glad that you're here with us today because I'm here with my most amazing guest, Kelly. Kelly, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Michelle. I'm very, very pleased to be here with you.
Nice. So give everybody the highlight of who you are and what you do for business.
Yes, so my name is Kelly Goss. I am a business process automation specialist and I run a consulting agency called Solver based in the UK. And we help businesses all around the world to become more productive with the right systems, better processes, and automation. That's it in a
Nice.
nutshell.
Well, you're talking all my love languages, so this is going to be awesome. So let's back up the bus a little bit. How did you get into business automation as your thing?
Oh, what a long journey that was. But I truly believe that things in life lead you to where you are now, definitely. Actually, I started my career as a microbiologist. So I was in a very sciencey role. That's what I did in university. And then worked in pharmaceutical and medical device manufacturing. Very quickly realized that I enjoyed process. So I actually started helping the manufacturing teams improve the way that they were working. So it was becoming less sciencey and more kind of process related. I then left that industry, went into business with a friend. We opened up a veterinary practice just for cats, would you believe it? And my friend did all the clinical stuff. And I was doing all the admin, and I was like thrown from a very different role into this. And that is actually where I realized how unproductive business owners and businesses, small businesses in general, can be. When it dawned on me at 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. one night where I was doing a tax return the day before it was due because I didn't have enough time to do it during normal hours. And I was like, there has got to be a better way of doing this and not being burnt out and, et cetera, et cetera. Fast forward a few years, we improved the way that we were working and doing all of that kind of stuff. I left the business, went on to other things, thought, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Oh my God. Then I was like, oh, actually, you know what? I can help people with systems and stuff, things that I learned during my experience of being a business owner. And started doing some bookkeeping for a client. I'm going to get to the point in a second,
No,
but
you keep going. You're doing awesome.
started doing some bookkeeping for a client, and the process was so inefficient, and they had all these thousands of transactions, and I was spending all this time doing it, and I was like, man, this is ridiculous. How is this business ever going to scale like this? I mean, they'd need like full-time bookkeepers to do all of this stuff. And basically, I came across some handy things to be able to integrate into Xero, which was their accounting system. Came across Zapier, which is an automation tool as well. And I was like, this thing is going to change my life. And as a consequence of using that and implementing a new process for the client, I did myself out of a project, basically. And I was like, hey, this is pretty cool. And in fact, the client was like, hey, you should do this for a living. I'm like, okay. So that's kind of where that was 2016, and here we are now. So,
Nice.
yeah. So it's been a I'd say finding out about automation and Zapier was like life-changing for me, basically.
Right.
And I learned to do it all without having to know how to code and I wasn't a techie person as such. I am now, but I kind of had to go through this process to learn all of this stuff myself. And Now I like to kind of promote the fact to business owners that you do not have to be a coder or have to have a technical background to actually learn how to put automation in place. And that should be something everybody does in their business. It should be essentially a lifestyle.
I totally agree. And you said something, and that's what made me laugh. And then so I'm scrambling to get something to write on and write notes. Because to me, that there's got to be a better way, I think, is almost the mantra of entrepreneurs going into business. And then we see our part in that and we make our part better. But then the process is like, okay. We had a client once that we went into them, and they were $25 million company. They had been in business since 1964. They had about 100 and some odd employees, and we asked them, okay, so and how do you do that? And the answer was almost manually, to the point where we were going to get like a little placard card to hold up and just go every time you're in a meeting and they ask you, how do you do that? Manually. Manually, manually, manually. Like, how? So they were running a company and they had, it was like a hotel. People come in and check in, and then they had to go and check with accounting manually to see whether or not the bill was paid. I'm like, you have hotel software. What? What are you doing? How are you doing this? How are you still in business? Actually, it's probably a better question.
Luck, luck.
Like, let's go back to that chaos and mayhem and, put a little salt in the wound, I think, for some people, but also to understand that if you're going through that chaos and mayhem stage, you are not alone. And I almost think that it's a necessity to business to be able to get to the point where things are kind of falling off the rack so that you know what needs to be on the rack and what doesn't. Like,
Yeah.
right, you got to get from the startups phase. Nothing's on the rack. They just, okay, we need to put some more stuff on the rack. And then all of a
Yeah.
sudden it's like, okay, too much, too much. So talk to me about those phases because I think they're kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing to mention that while you've been talking, I've been thinking the key thing that is important for any entrepreneur, any business owner, it's never too late. It's never too late to think that you need to change the way that you're working. And in fact, always constantly having a thought in your mind that something can be improved is a good mindset to have. Continuous improvement constantly. I mean, we do this as entrepreneurs, right? We're constantly thinking of that next new idea and thing that we could put in place. That should be the same for the systems that you're using, the way that you're working. You should always be thinking, what can I improve? What can I do better? So, yeah, I mean, like in terms of phases of how we should go through, what give me some context in terms of what you think you want from me here.
All good. What I want from you is stories, mostly stories of kind of the things that are going wrong. Because I think business people too, they get used to the systems that they have in place, even though they're completely messed up. They just get used to it. Like this company, they just got used to the fact that they would have to send an email to accounting and say, "Hey, is this account paid off?" Even though everybody came in on a Sunday and everybody left on a Sunday. It's complete and total mayhem. And accounting is in their office looking at texts and emails to verify that people are paid. It's like, okay, you know that no, most normal companies don't have their accounting department working Saturday and Sunday, right? This is not normal. So what
Yeah.
of those things, like, give me some of the kind of things that flabbergasted you and you're like, I can't believe we're doing this.
Well, I think I've come across a few situations where we started working with a client where they're like, we've done everything from a book. We've worked for 20 years, and we do everything on paper. We have books, we have a safe, we put the stuff in the safe, we store credit card details, we write them in a book, and we put them in a safe, and that's like our entire client list, and everything is written down. and this particular situation, I was just like, they were showing me on the call, a discovery call I was having with them, they were showing me like this book, and they were like, can you see this, can you see this? And I'm like, wow, this is how, okay, that kind of situation, that's going to help you, you carry on working the way that you've been working because
And the
you don't
data's
know
safe.
anything. Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's so many things that could go wrong there, but you carry on working like that because you don't think that there's a better way of working. And I think that there are a lot of businesses in that situation where it may not be a book, but it might be a spreadsheet, and that will work for a particular specific amount of time. But when you start scaling and you have to have multiple people involved in the business, spreadsheets and paper do not become a scalable solution. So yes.
And peeps, I'm teasing. You know I am. I want to empathize with the chaos that you're going through, because it is normal. It is absolutely normal, and I want to kind of make light of it because a lot of people get really bogged down by it, and then they get scared that they have to change. And I totally get to that. Change is terrifying, especially if they're going from paper to software. Or if they're going through the control of, we have this Excel spreadsheet that we've had forever, and senior management takes care of all the macros in it, and you're like, I'm going like, that's not safe. But at the same time, I totally get that changing away from that and letting go of the control is, it's an issue. So how do you work with entrepreneurs to kind of help them through that change management process or
I think
process?
that the term change management is super important because it highlights that there needs to be a process for that. And it's not just as simple as saying, okay, we're putting this new thing in place and that's it. And, it's all going to happen magically. It doesn't happen like that. So there has to be a really defined, structured way of implementing a new way of working. And that involves understanding the process, really deep diving into mapping out what you're actually doing, what the requirements are, and taking that, translating that into the technology, making sure that you have good, efficient ways of working with the tools that you're using, making sure that they're the right tools for the job in the first place as well, and trying to make those things more efficient with features and functionality and automation and AI maybe as well. But we shouldn't forget the fact that we need to make sure that everybody in who uses that process is involved really early on in this change management process, because that helps with adoption. It helps with people being on board with the changes that you're making. Makes them feel part of that process and that they're involved in the decision making as well. And then when you have those things in place that are going to work really well, everybody has got time to adapt to the system. So you're not just throwing everybody in the deep end. There has to be training, there has to be support. And one key thing that I think is super, super important when you have any kind of digital transformation or change management process to change the way people are working is that you have champions. So people who really believe in the changes that are going to happen. So if it's like a whole company-wide thing and you have different departments, you have people in each one of those departments who really believe in the changes that you're going to make and can actually support other people with that journey. So it's not just management saying, we want to do this. It is actually everybody in the organization is on board with what needs to happen. I think that that's really super important.
Nice. And I think it's important for businesses to understand, because that it really is a business decision. It's not a departmental choice. It's like, this is the one or two of the things. Like, product changes are probably company are definitely a company-wide decision, and business automation. And it, to me, it has to start at the top. But to your point, you need those trickle down points in the champions. I love that. Is there a way that kind of business owners
typically think of automation and go, oh yeah, well, that's kind of up to so-and-so. That's up to Frank and his department. And, you know, we don't really have time for all these meetings. How do you get them to kind of understand the magnitude of these choices?
I think education is the key thing. And education needs to be throughout the organization. It should not just be, you know, one person who's made a decision, which, you know, ultimately, like you said, there are certain things that have to be business decisions that then get filtered down. But I think education and involving people and helping them to understand the benefits of the changes that are going to happen, and also to alleviate fear. Because sometimes with changes in systems and the way people work and introducing automation, that can be like a serious fear problem for a lot of people, because they might be thinking, ooh, is AI going to take my job? Is automation, you know, what am I going to actually do? I've done this exactly this way for 20 years. And if I do it differently, what am I going to do? So I think having that education piece and the support from the champions, and obviously, you know, everybody on the more senior side kind of really needs to understand what is actually going on, so that they can communicate in more detail than just a, you know, surface level, to be able to explain to people or support people if they have concerns.
So what does it look like when somebody's working with you? What is that kind of that onboarding process? How does that whole chain of events happen with you?
First
that's a big thing, question. big question. You can take that any direction you want to, actually.
So first things first, obviously discovery call, trying to understand the needs of the potential client that we'd be working with, explaining our process and how it'd be how it would work to work with us. But essentially we have a 4-stage process that we work, which is actually a trademarked process that we use. And we talk about this in courses that we do and that kind of thing. But essentially it's, if we just simply process audit, understanding the business, how they're working, what we're trying to achieve ultimately, and understanding from start to finish what the actual process involves. So we generally start with giving the client a little bit of homework to do, so they need to really understand their processes before they can actually start working with us, so that they can actually translate it into words for us. So they do a bit of homework. We then do a workshop with all the kind of key people involved in the processes that we're looking at. And that process could be anything from the entire customer journey through marketing, sales, operations, finance, that whole thing. Or it could be something really specific, like we're looking at the sales process and trying to improve that and put the right systems in place and automate it. And once we've done that workshop, and we've had everybody involved, and we then go away and put together recommendations around how we are going to restructure everything in the specific area that we're looking at. So if, say, for example, we're looking at a sales process, we'd be looking at, okay, are the systems that you have in place fit for purpose? Do you have a CRM, for example? If you have a CRM, does it work the way that it should do? Are you using all the features, functionality? And is it structured in the way that it should be? Is the sales process actually very well defined? Do you have pipelines set up and the right stages? Do you have trigger points? Are you using everything correctly? So we'll put all of those details in a detailed report about how the architecture should look, what all the automations should be, and, you know, how that process is now going to be redefined from their existing state to their future amazingly optimized working process. And then we move on to implementing it. And then we just do that in sprints, essentially. So we agree with the client how we're going to implement all of this, and over what period of time. And then we put all of that in place. We make sure that we involve the team as well. So we're not just doing this in isolation. There is always a lot of involvement because, again, that helps with adoption and the learning process for them. And then we move on to training and support and rolling out the new process.
I love it. So, peeps, I think that everything she said was clear, but if everything she said was causing a little bit of trauma, relax, breathe, it's okay. She'll go over all of that stuff with you. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you about a Cinderella story of one of your clients. But before we do that, we're going to stop for a little break.
Are you running a business over 7 figures, but still struggling with technology headaches? Pay attention. You do not want to miss this offer. This podcast episode is brought to you by Awareness Strategies, who is offering a custom-built digital adoption roadmap for anyone running a business over 7 figures who's wanting to grow their business in the next 5 years. And it's not just a roadmap. They offer full implementation as well. If that scares the out of you, check out awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap for more details today. The link's in the show's notes. Don't regret not doing this. Do it now. That's awarenessstrategies.com/.
I am super excited to hear an example of a Cinderella story of one of your clients.
Well, Michelle, there are actually so many, but I think one that really stands out is a client that we worked with where they were an architectural glass manufacturer, and they had a lot of inefficiencies in a lot of different areas, but the main focus we had was in their operations. So they were using different bits of software, so they did actually have the right things for what they needed to do. But we helped them to put a lot of automation in place by restructuring different parts of their process. But the automation thing was key because they ended up having a lot of their sales process automated that then linked into their operations and delivery of the product, and also timesheets for their fitters. So there was a lot of cool stuff. And I think the most significant part of all of this, without me going into every little detail of what we automated, it basically saved them. And this is not a fib. This is actually true because they did time studies before and after. It saved them 45 hours a week. That's like more than a full-time person. With right? All that, because they basically had people copying and pasting stuff between different tools. So that Absolutely. That was quite a significant amount right? of time saved. Yeah.
Wow, that is great. I know a lot of people used to ask me, like, why would I do that? And I'm like, well, one, if you only automate your accountants receivable, if all you did was automate the part where people pay monthly, that's all you're doing. It's just they pay monthly. You know, the credit card goes through. If it doesn't go through, they get an email and an SMS text saying, hey, it didn't go through. That's it. They've just saved at least $500 a month in accounting fees for their accounts receivable person, yeah. Minimum. And it's like, that to me is insane that people kind of have to question that process of whether or not this is worth your time and effort. And it's like, yeah, nobody likes those calls. Nobody likes getting them. Nobody likes giving them. So why wouldn't you just have a little text and say, oh yeah, my card expired and yay. But there's a ton of different examples. What are some of the kind of the biggest benefits that you see happening, especially with your clients?
Well, I mean, with that example, you've obviously got the time saving, and everybody wants to get back more time, but there are also things that translate into other things. So time is money. That's mm-hmm. a big thing. So if you're saving time, chances are you're saving money either because maybe you've hired a freelancer to do something and you don't need that freelancer anymore. But, you know, in terms of one fear that people have is my job going to be taken because everything is being automated? Actually, no, it means that you can do the things that you really should be doing as a human, the things that make your role and you in that role, the reason that it's there. So, you know, giving people the opportunity to be able to have more fulfilling roles is a big part of the benefits of being able to create automation within your business. The time, obviously the money that you're going to save, errors, you know, think about all those transcription errors, especially when it comes to like the accounting side. If you've got big transcription errors, that's a big problem from a tax perspective. So those are definitely some of the biggest benefits, I would say.
You just gave me a flashback when I think I was 18 or something at some job, and we had to reconcile at the end of the night. And it was just, you know, the cash register and the cash. And there was one night we were out $500 and we were scrambling to find, it took us 5 hours to find that stupid error. And there's two of us looking at it, like it was not obvious. And I cannot imagine for the life of me what it's like when people have to reconcile the inventory, they have to reconcile their timesheets, their scheduling, their, as soon as you have a fleet of people and working with you, or kind of boxes of inventory they have to go through. I can't imagine what it's like for a retail outlet, especially if they're seasonal, like if they go through a ton of stuff in a season, take the summer, and all of a sudden all your swimsuits and everything are gone within a day. How do you have the time to be able to reconcile that if it's not done automatically? And to your point, yes, getting people to do the things that are fun and creative as human beings, right? Going back to the accounts receivable person, so much more fun to count the money coming in, or to, you know, to be able to make calls or think of different ways of being able to package products and services, because now they're talking to people about what they like as opposed to what they hated about the system before.
Making that change to be able to give people much more fun and interesting things to do, and, you know, hone in on their skills that maybe they haven't even had a chance to shine on because they've been inundated with all of this stuff that they didn't need to do in the first place. So, yeah. Hey, I love automation. there's so many things to scream from the hilltops about with it.
I love it. I know our listeners are going to want more from you. How did they start that journey with you?
So get in touch with me on LinkedIn. You can find me there, or visit me at my website, solver.co.uk. I've got a ton of resources there, free ebooks. I have two books on Amazon. One is Automate It with Zapier. The second one is Automate It with Zapier and Generative AI. So if you want to learn all about how to automate your business with Zapier in particular, which is a pretty cool tool because it's no code, you don't have to be a techie to use it. That is all available there for you. I've got some courses as well. And get in touch with me through my website if you are interested in working with us.
Awesome. I love it. We will, of course, have all of Kelly's links in the show notes. So go ahead and scroll down, click on those links, open them up in a new browser, though, because we're not done yet. So, Kelly, I get to ask you, at what point in life did you know you were special, kind of crazy enough to think that you could become an entrepreneur?
Oh, gosh. You know what? I think I must have had it in me somewhere from early childhood, probably because my mother was very entrepreneurial. And she always, even though she was like a full-time mom, she always used to do stuff like, make treats and package them up and sell them and, like, you know, do all these little things. And I remember when I must have been like in my early teens, I said to my mom, oh, can I make these like hair scrunchies, you know, like the just like hairband things, but like made out of material. And I was like, I'm going to make all these things and I'm going to go and sell them at school. I think that's like my earliest memory, definitely.
That is awesome.
I didn't think I was going to be an entrepreneur. Who knows? I did not know what that was. But that's definitely my earliest memory of wanting to do something outside of the box.
That is awesome. You have been absolutely awesome. Any last words for our peeps?
Automate, but actually don't just automate. Think about your systems. Are they the right systems? Make sure that you're working better than automate, but don't be scared of this stuff. This is all, there are lots of people out there that can help you and support you with it. And, it's never too late to start thinking about it. So go for it.
Love it. Thank you, Kelly, so much for your time. I appreciate it, and I know how valuable it is.
Thank you, Michelle. It's been great to be here with you today.
Awesome. Peeps, this is Michelle Nedelec. Thank you for being here with us today. Be sure to subscribe to the show, share it with your friends. We love helping entrepreneurs grow.
Are you running a business over 7 figures but still struggling with technology headaches? Pay attention. You do not want to miss this offer. This podcast episode is brought to you by Awareness Strategies, who is offering a custom-built digital adoption roadmap for anyone running a business over 7 figures who's wanting to grow their business in the next 5 years. And it's not just a roadmap. They offer full implementation as well. If that scares the out of you, check out awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap for more details today. The link's in the show's notes. Don't regret not doing this. Do it now. That's awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap.